bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Children, you are dismissed. Friends, I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians. You know that we started our year in the book of Ephesians, and then we came into the season of Lent and did a series in the table of the Lord. So we talked about the Eucharist, and we talked about the Lord's Supper, and we talked about communion and those emphases throughout the Lent season. Then out of Lent, we had a series in baptism, right? And so these two ordinances or sacraments that we celebrate as the body of Christ. And so we focused on those through the Lent and Pentecost seasons. And we need to come back now to Ephesians so that we can finish this up, right? Because I was getting just regular emails from all of you to say, hey, when are we going to finish the book of Ephesians? I am hanging on so that we can finish this. Even though I received no emails to that effect, I felt it from you. I really did. So I want you to open your Bibles to Ephesians. We're gonna read our primary text this morning together. I'm gonna pray for us that we would receive this word and that God would really minister to our hearts this morning. We are in Ephesians chapter 5. We're gonna be reading, it's a long text. There's 21 verses here. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you. This is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking. These are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And then try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk on wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Jesus, I'm praying for us that we would receive this word, just that we would receive this word. And as we share, that you, Holy Spirit, would enliven that word to our hearts and our minds in ways that make that livable, so that when we leave this place, we leave different than the way that we came because we encountered your word, We encounter the life of the one who has given us that word, and then your Spirit who energizes that word to transform us. May it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, allow me to remind us what's happening in Ephesus. At this period of time in history, the primary goddess that is worshipped in Ephesus is Artemis. And Artemis is a goddess, and she has a twin in mythology, Apollo. And so if you look in Ephesian history, you'll see at different points in time, either Apollo or Artemis, one or the other, were in greater power. Well, this is important for us because we're mindful that Paul writes to the Ephesians and he says that they are by nature wrathful children. Life in Ephesus, what was demanded of you was that you pick a side and then you fought for that side. And so if you were a follower of Apollo, then you fought against the followers of Artemis. If you were a follower of Artemis, then you fought against the followers of Apollo. And so you have right in the community, the city of Ephesus, this city with vitality and wealth and imports, that this city of great significance was always at war with each other. And so you have Paul writing to the church, to a people that all they know is how to be wrathful toward each other. So understand, that's the background of their mentality, is if you're going to follow somebody, that means you got to defeat somebody else. Friends, we don't really live in all that different of a time now, where we're just trying to nullify somebody who disagrees with us. And so this letter comes to us strategically to say, not so with the body of Christ. Does that make sense? So one of the ways that they demonstrated their faithfulness was by processing around the city. They would essentially take a walk. So you would take the god Apollo, or you would take the goddess Artemis, and you would take the statue, and you would begin a procession around the city. And if you were a follower, you would join in the procession to say, yes, I am in with what it means to be a follower of Apollo or Artemis. At this point in time, Artemis is the greater god of the two, but no doubt those that are following Apollo are seeking to overturn the followers of Artemis, and they would process around the city. Another detail that is helpful as you read this epistle is the images of light and darkness. Have you noticed that? I've encouraged us to be reading in Ephesians kind of over and over again. Why do we do that? So you're just really familiar with it, right? There's things that you begin to say, hey, that's, man, I read that a whole bunch here. And so that begins to register in your mind. Well, the goddess Artemis and the god Apollo were both associated with the moon. Well, the moon has no direct light of its own, right? Yes, and so with the twins, Artemis and Apollo, Apollo was identified as the light side of the moon, or the one that is reflecting that which shines on him, right? So he's often, if you were to go and read history with Apollo, that he's associated with light, but it's not a light that is his own, but he radiates or reflects light. Artemis is the dark side of the moon. And we see this play out in how Paul writes. As you read and you have that in your mind, you go, oh, well, no wonder there's darkness that's being communicated here, or even hey, there's some different language used in this case. Oh, that's interesting. So these are some of the historical realities in Ephesus. Paul writes to them to say, one, you're not wrathful children. That is not what God intends for you to be. So it's not a follower of this God or this goddess, but as being a follower of the blessed God of heaven, that you're called to live entirely different, right? Where you are not wrathful children, but notice what the text, and you'll see this multiple times, that Paul is going to communicate to them that they were adopted as children, and they were adopted in love. It's in love. This is totally different. Right? So now they are loved children, not wrath-filled children. That's totally different. So for us, when we read this epistle, that we're not called for our side to win. What we're called to be is children who are loved and then who demonstrate love. They would process around the city to demonstrate their faithfulness to the god or goddess. Notice Paul's going to pick that up here, and he says, be careful about how you walk. Now, here's what's, I think, neat in what Paul does here, that what he calls the Ephesians to is not a walk that demonstrates faithfulness, although it is, right, that they are walking faithfully with the Lord, but it's not just faithfulness, but he is going to call them to a walk or a procession that pleases God. And that is a wonderful gift to us. Did you know, friends, that you can walk in a way that pleases God? Certainly we would say, oh, I can walk faithfully. I'm going to keep going in the same direction. No, that you can walk in a way that pleases God. That's wonderful news for us. And so Paul is sharing with these Ephesian Christians that not only is their identity different, that their identity is a children who are loved, not children who by nature are wrath, right? They're not wrath-filled children, they're love-filled children. But that as love-filled children, that their life does not consist in simple faithfulness. Yes, faithfulness is included, but that they have an opportunity to not just be faithful in their walk, but that their walk can please God. That's good news, that their walk could please God. Because life in Ephesus, you were wrath-filled and you were faithful, but you had no guarantee that your wrath and your faithfulness would please the God. That was out of your control, right? You didn't know whether or not you could please the God because it was all predicated upon whether or not you got what you wanted. Is there anybody here that would testify that everything that you've wanted, you've gotten? There might be some of us who would say, praise God, I didn't get everything I wanted. So the blessed God of heaven, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ, knows truly what is blessing, right? That is a life that keeps us moving forward, right? So the God, the blessed God, is the one who gives us the blessings that will keep us moving forward. Life in Ephesus, you could be wrath-filled, you could demonstrate your wrath, and you could be faithful in that, but there was no guarantee that your wrath or your faithfulness to it would bring the pleasure of the gods. This is not the Christian life. Aren't you thankful? That the Christian life that Paul was calling his audience to was not only that they were not wrath-filled, but they were loved-filled. Not only that they would be faithful, but that they could be ones who please the blessed God. Isn't this wonderful? So we're going to talk about three things that this text outlines for what it means to be children. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what these three things are, and then I'm going to describe them. We are to be beloved children, or beloved children who please the Father. We're called to be fruitful children who please the Father. And we're called to be wise children who please the Father. And we're going to seek to answer by the end of this, if we're to be children who are beloved, right, that we know that we are loved by the Father. That's our position. If we're to be fruitful, that the things that we carry out, the things that we do also please the Father. So not only are we loved by the we are loved in a way that pleases the Father, but we're fruitful in a way that pleases the Father. And that we can also be wise, that we can do the things that we've done with an appropriateness, a wisdom. Well, we get to the end of this and we say, well, how can I do that? There's a question that high school seniors, we just experienced graduation, college seniors, you graduate from college and you're asking this question, man, what am I going to do with my life? Yes, that's important, but what is, to ask that a little deeper, what is the will of God for my life? You ever ask that question? Like, what's God's will? What is it that the Lord desires for me? Not simply, what am I going to do with my life, but what does the Lord intend for me to do with my life? What is the will of God? This text, I think, outlines that for us. So not only can we be children who please the Father, but how are we going to please the Father? We please the Father by knowing what His will is and doing it. And friends, I don't want to pretend that I can give all the answers for that, but I can certainly, Paul does, is to say, okay, here's a way, here's a criteria by which we can view that. And that's what we're going to do. So, we're called, or we are, our position is beloved children who please the Father. Listen, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. As beloved children, this Paul writes to them is to say, your whole life has been turned upside down because you're no longer walking in wrath. Now you're walking in love. Well, we have to have an example that we can imitate. And so Paul says, your example to imitate is Jesus. That's the example to imitate. And what do we see in Jesus? That Jesus demonstrates his love sacrificially. So here we're not attacking each other, but rather we're sacrificing for the benefit of another. Bruce Waltke would define righteousness that way. He would define righteousness as laying down our rights for the benefit of another. That seems consistent with what Jesus did, right? He laid down his rights. Paul would write that particularly in a Christological hymn to the people in Philippi to say he had all the rights of glory and laid them aside, taking on humanity, and in taking on humanity became a servant of humanity, suffering a death that he did not deserve so that we might have life in his name. It's a sacrificial love, laying down rights for the benefit of another. Well, friends, the only way that we're willing to pursue that as a way to live is if we come to really believe that we are beloved children. If you don't believe that you're a beloved child of the blessed God who always makes a way forward, then you'll fight and scrap and put others down and try to get ahead in ways that are unhealthy. The only way to live a sacrificial love is by knowing the one who's already done it for us. That we are really beloved children, and we can root ourselves in a God who loves us. Otherwise, it leaves us to make our way for ourselves. And did you know, friends, that when we put ourselves in that position to say, God, I'm trusting that I'm your beloved child, is that pleases him? When my children trust me that I know what is best for them, and it turns out that pleases me as a father. Parents out there, is it pleasing when your children trust you, when you have and you know what is best for them? Sometimes that means withholding things. Sometimes that means giving beyond even their expectations. And both of those, if they just root themselves to say, Dad, I trust you. Mom, I trust you. That brings great pleasure to us as parents. And so we have an idea as to what that looks like. I don't want you to hear that it's ours just intensified. I don't know that that's the case. But rather, we have an understanding of a truth that is glorious in God. So when we root ourselves in him, that pleases him. It's his divine intention from the beginning, to which he said, this is good. Right? So there's a goodness that's consistent with the person of God when we root ourselves in trusting in his love for us. Man, friends, I wish I lived there more consistently. Just to say, God, I don't like this situation. I don't like this circumstance. I didn't like that conversation. I didn't like that outcome. But I know that I am a beloved child of yourself. And I trust you. I trust you that regardless of that situation, that outcome, that circumstance, that it hasn't changed my position, and I can trust you in the midst of that. And I want to live there more often. Not only are we beloved children, but we're to be fruitful children who please the Father. Paul references here the fruitless deeds of the darkness. So he talks about immorality and impurity. He talks about how we use our bodies there. And then he talks about how we use our mouths. And then also about how we use our minds. So he says, take no part, this is verse 11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. Now this clues us into the fact that Artemis is primary at this period of time. So for Artemis, you processed at dusk. Right? So they would take the goddess and process around the city, but they would do that at dusk. So darkness is coming on. And then the activities that they would participate to express their faithfulness, immorality, crude joking, these sorts of things, these are happening in the darkness, right? And so that's a clue into what's happening in Ephesus. Well, we don't live in that way. That's not the way in which we process. It's not the way in which we walk. We're walking in a way that pleases the Father. Now go up a couple of verses. It says, now verse 8 says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. So we're to walk as children of light. Then look what it says there, verse 9. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And then try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. So what is good and right and true? So here, as we live as followers of Jesus, as we're walking as disciples of Jesus, that we're always asking this question, how can I bring good? How can I do right? How can I demonstrate truth? We're always asking those questions because those are the fruit of the light. And so we live in that way. So when you're at the workplace, you might have situations that are much more reflective of wrath than goodness. And so part of a walk that is in Christ is to say, how can I bring good into this situation? I can't answer that for you. But I believe that we are given the Spirit. We're given not only the Spirit of God, we're given the Word of God, we're given the people of God that can help us discern that which is pleasing. So we're living as children of light, producing the fruit of the light. And here's what's amazing about this is it's a call to expose the darkness. The way to expose the darkness is not to call it out and be like, hey, that's dark, you're wrong, you're evil, you no good, is to live as children of the light. That exposes the deeds of darkness. Did you know that? When you bring good into a place of wrath, it exposes the wrath for what it is. When you bring truth into a lie, you expose the lie for what it is. When you bring righteousness or justice into a place of injustice, it reveals injustice for what it is. It always happens that way, right? A lie cannot survive in truth. Wrath cannot survive in goodness. Injustice cannot survive in righteousness. And so we have this call that Paul is telling these Ephesians to live this kind of life that brings good. It brings righteousness. It brings truth. And I need to clarify there that when it comes to our world at large, our world may not decide to live in the truth, even if the lie is exposed. Does that make sense? Our community may not choose to live righteously, even if injustice is exposed. So when I say it cannot survive, that was an overstatement. We can still make those choices, but it's exposed. Like, at least you know it. And so being exposed, the hope is that we would go, I don't want to live in injustice. I don't want to continue to live in a lie. I don't want to continue to live in wrath rather than goodness. Does that make sense? So I just wanted to clarify that. So we could go out of here and go, hey, if I just live good, then there won't be any bad in the world. Man, I wish that were true. And so we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus, where all things will be made right. Last thing here is that we're called to be wise children, and then I'm going to convince you that we can be these things here at the end. We are called to be wise children who please the Father. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. And living as wise to make the best use of your time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, the opposite of wise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So there it is. We're called to understand what the will of the Lord is and do not get drunk with wine. Well, we need to take a quick time out and say, we are wise children who please the Father. being wise children, there's a call for us to understand what the will of the Lord is. So wise children work at understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so this leads us to the end of the passage. How do we become, or we are beloved children, we are fruitful children, we are wise children. How do we embody that truth? Right? How do we embody the truth of being beloved, of being fruitful, of being wise? And that's where we come to this section that says, and do not get drunk with wine. The Greek word for drunk is a long exposure. Generally, in order to get drunk, you need a long exposure to something that is intoxicating. Right? So the longer you expose yourself to it, the more likely that you will indeed get drunk. So Paul says, do not have a long exposure to that which would intoxicate, make you mindless, for that is debauchery. Here I'm mindful of what A.W. Tozer said, that our thoughts about God are the most important thing about us. So how we think about God is the most important thing about us. So here you have Paul saying, don't expose yourself to what would make you mindless, because that's debauchery. So don't have a long exposure to something that would diminish our capacity to think about our life in Christ. That makes sense, doesn't it? So don't have a long exposure to mindless thinking, for that is debauchery, but have a long exposure to the Spirit. Not only do we need to have a long exposure to the Spirit, but we need to have a long and repeated exposure to the spiritual to the Psalms, so Scripture, to the hymns and spiritual songs that are a repetition of Scripture. So have a long and repeated exposure to the Spirit, a long and repeated exposure to the words of God. You should give thanks that we have these. And then it says, submit yourself, or continue to submit yourself to one another in terms or in reverence for Christ. So we come back to this question, and I'll finish. Is if we are beloved children who are called to be fruitful and are called to be wise, and as beloved, fruitful, and wise children, we please the Father. And in order to please the Father, we need to know what the will of the Lord is. Is we come to understand what the Lord's will is, and then, get this, proceed to walk a life of pleasing the Lord by a long and repeated exposure to the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the people of God. We need a long and repeated exposure to those things. And the result of that is not the concern of, man, if I just knew what the will of the Lord is, then I could please Him. We discover that, friends, as we have a long and repeated exposure to His Spirit. By the way, His Spirit will always confirm truth. Right, so the Word of God, you need to know the Word of God, and the Spirit of God has something to work with. I'm not saying that those who don't have access, that the Spirit can't speak to them. But for those of us that have access and we are lazy, is a disrespect to the Spirit, because we're not giving the Spirit anything to work with to confirm in our life. So we have a long and repeated exposure to the Spirit to say, I am sensitive to what the Spirit asks me to do. I'm going to be obedient. But the Spirit isn't going to call you to do something that would disagree with the Word of God. And so you have a long and repeated exposure to the Spirit. Say, I'll be obedient. Holy Spirit, energize me to be obedient. And to confirm that, or to affirm that in the Word of God. And by the way, friends, God has given us to each other. And so we not only submit to the Spirit, but we submit to the Word, and we submit to the people of God. And as we do these things, it just turns out that Paul said, our walk will look a lot like the will of God. When we submit ourselves to His Spirit, in His Word, in the midst of His people, His will gets accomplished. We get the cart before the horse, as they say, if we go, I want the will, but I don't want His Spirit, His Word, or His people. No, no. As you submit to the Spirit, His Word, and His people, His will gets accomplished. And that's how we walk. So if we want to walk as beloved, fruitful, and wise children, friends, please the Father by remaining, by continuing to have a long and repeated exposure to His Spirit, a long and repeated exposure to His Word, and a long and repeated exposure to His people. And I think we'll discover that His will gets accomplished. Let me pray for us. Jesus, I thank You for this text. I thank You that it ministers to us and calls us to a life that You intend. Father, I'm thankful that in the midst of a time that has a lot of picking sides and wrath toward the sides that we choose, that we're reminded in Your Word that that's not what You intend for Your people. That You intend for us, in the midst of days being evil, in the midst of a lot of by nature wrath-filled children, that right in the midst of that, wrath-filled children, in an evil day, that You call us to be beloved children who can please the Father, producing a different kind of fruit, a fruit that is good and righteous and true, and it exposes the evil, the injustice, and the lies, and that we can live as wise. And in living in these ways that we can accomplish Your will and please You, I pray that it would be so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you please stand?